Okay, we're up to where it says Nigune Dveikus Mibal Menagen Shiyotzu L'Tarbusra. Are you allowed to listen to songs that were composed by someone who is not a Shomer Torah U'Mitzvos? What is the status? You should know that. What?
We had Nigunim. I know, like, some of the Chabad came from the composers.
Yes. Yes, that's what he's going to discuss. A lot of the marches, a lot of the Purim Nigunim, a lot of the Purim Nigunim you hear now.
War marches.
These are Nigunim that do not come from Jewish sources.
So when you're talking about Shomer Mitzvah, you're not restricting to Jewish.
No, right, we're not restricting to Jewish. There's a famous one, Yidden. Right, Yidden, Mordechai and David, Yidden, Yidden. So that's a German song. I one day actually was floating a video years ago, a video online of a German rock and roll band singing it and playing it, and exactly, and every you know, perfect. And it's
what song was that?
It was a very famous song, Mordechai and David, Yidden.
Yidden.
Yidden. It was called Yidden. Okay, so these are the issues. Is it proper to play songs that come from non-Jewish sources? Kosav b'chay Yosef
is
more Jewish.
Entertainment. So it's not so bad, but you want a song of the Vegas.
If you want it to elevate you, that shouldn't be from.
Okay.
More Jewish. I'm also not from
Mosur is not a Jewish nigun. Mosur
conductor, forgot his name.
Interesting. Okay, interesting. I once went to a wedding, modern Orthodox wedding, with the Chassan marched down to a very popular.
What?
I can't even watch. Saints Gamashian? No. A movie. There was a popular movie that was I don't know, whatever the movie was, and they were playing the song from the movie, and he marched down a slow Dveika stick of song. Titanic? That's what it was? So there was someone there at the wedding. So there was someone there at the wedding that really didn't take this lightly. He couldn't. He was just very, very upset that going marching down to the chuppah is a time of holiness. It's one thing during dinner music. What? He did it. The chassan selected. The chassan selected this fellow, not this fellow, this person, or this Talmud Chacham who was there at the wedding. He was very, very disturbed that the chassan, the going down to the chuppah is a holy moment, and you should have enough seichel to select something that is religious. It's one thing dinner music. So after the wedding is already over, you want to sit down by the window, you want to play some nigunim from some movies. All right. So wherever, that's your choice. But when you're marching down to the chuppah, you have nothing better to select but a nigun that comes from a movie, a secular movie. This is not what you're supposed to do. Let's see what it says over here. Kosav Abirke Yosef Besef Maiserokeach Nishal Al Hamishayrim Kadesh Ukedusha Lechein Shirei Nochrim. You sing Kaddish and Kedusha with the song of Shirei Nochem, V'herich L'Esra. So he passes the B'chayot, says that as a David is also to do so, V'chlal Dvarav Hevi Divrei Maharim Di Lun Zanoi. I do not know who this person is. Shekos of Hashem Sefer Chassidim, V'yizar Mi Shekoloi Noam Shlo Yizam Nigun Nochem, a person that's a beautiful voice, not sing non-Jewish songs. V'diktuk Shaloi Kosav Shirim Nochem. So he writes over here, Nigunim, notice what he says, Nigunim Nochem, and he's medaktek that the Sefer Chassidim does not say Shlo Kosav Shirim Nochem. The Zabshita the Osir. It goes without saying songs, I mean the lyrics. If the lyrics are non-Jewish lyrics, of course it goes without saying that nothing is probably, but even if it's not the lyrics, it's just the melody. Ella nigunim nochem klomer af hashir hu kodesh. Even if the words, if you're going to adapt, you're going to take a melody of a non-Jewish melody, and you're going to superimpose upon it Jewish words. Yidden, or shlakrak for all those type of funny things. Hanigun nochri yafsidu. It doesn't matter. The fact that the nigun came from a nochri is disqualified. Acher hachida shemaram di lun zanoi atzmei This was the cause, to me, lechaber, to compose, roiv shirei, shirai, al nigune hayishmeilim. Now, what does it mean over here? Ve'isi k'tzas chachamim. Arabic music, that's what he means? Yeah. But ve'isi k'tzas, so he would...
Arabic music all the time. I mean, in
Yishmeilim? So what he's borrowing, does he mean he's borrowing from their melodies? Is that what he means over here? He's seen Talmidei Chachamim protest this practice of borrowing the style and the melodies of the non-Jews and using it for Jewish purposes. Everyone does it. They take non-Jewish melodies and they Judify it. As we mentioned, some of the most popular nigunim on Purim are marches that come from non-Jewish sources. So he says over here,
they had it on the Tom to dance, so before them, it came into Jewish...
There is no heter to do such a thing. Uvitzi Poiren. Shamir, name of a sefer, Kasav Achida, Hashameh Kol Shir Shneinu Shel Kedusha, Metame Oznav. It contaminates a person's ears. Oizen Shashama Tirsha V'yavo Lidei carry. The ears that hear such things will tirsha, will become wicked and will come. They carry over means something very not good is going to happen. Okay, so now he's discussing that. Now he's changing the topic. Instead of hearing songs from non-Jews, what about songs from?
Yeah, this is not a contemporary person.
Sure, Ber Moshe is done.
So. You know, every generation says that the next generation's music is horrible and is the end of the world. And then later on, you know, it just becomes acceptable.
Yeah, but here we're discussing when it was composed by a person who is not Shomer Shabbos, not Shomer Torah Mitzvot.
Our parents condemned our music and we condemned our children's music and so on.
Okay, but it's more, the music they're condemning was composed by good people. It's just a different style, it's a different generation. Here he's focusing on the machshav, the thought that went into composing these nigunim came from a mind that is not a clean mind. Vinei.
No, this is the
Tavishra. Oh, so that's the question. When did he compose? Did he compose it afterwards or did he compose it now? When is the music? I think it's the Derech Pashtun. It was composed when he was a tzaddik and he went to the Derech.
What do you mean by the Tavishra?
He's not Shomer Torah Mitzvot. He went off the Derech. He's not.
So there's a famous singer that they said that he went off the Derech. He was Shomer Shabbos.
Matasio, you're talking about.
No, Shomer Kalabach.
Shomer Kalabach. He didn't go off the Derech. You can't say that. Chas Hashem to say that.
A lot of Rosh Hashivas did not.
Chas Hashem. Kalabach?
As a matter of fact, they requested that his name be taken off his labels on his first record. Rav
Putin's
name appeared in subsequent records.
His name okay, but then no one will tell you he went off the Derech. No one's going to go so far to say. What? He was a controversial figure, but no one's going to say that he went off the Derech, Chas V'Shalom. He was who he was. Okay, he was Shomer Shabbos.
But in those days, he was considered that he went out.
It was disturbing from where he came from. What he did was disturbing. He comes from a very chashve yichus. He was a very chashve person, and he did different things that not everyone found to be acceptable. Let's go further. Okay. Let me just give you an example of halacha. A person is a sofer. He writes a sefer Torah. He writes tefillin. And then he writes tefillin when he's a Yoreh Shemaim. And then he goes off to Derech. So the people, are they allowed to continue wearing his tefillin? Of course they are. Just because a person goes off the derech that has no effect on what he wrote when he was still a Yorei Shemayim. When a person, Rachman L'Sod, if he goes off the derech that does not affect retroactively all of the things that he wrote originally. So it's of course the same when it comes to a nigun. If a person who is a holy person, he's mechaber a nigun, or a dveikastik a nigun, and then later in his life he goes off the derech, we're not discussing that situation. It's a davar pashut ad me'od that nigun is a holy nigun. He was mechaber that nigun when he was a kodosh. He was a holy person. So now he had a falling out. Okay, that's a different issue. But here we're discussing a person who went off the derech, like a min. A min is worse. The Gemara says a min is worse than a nachri. If a nachri writes a sefer Torah, you put the sefer Torah in the Geniza, because it can very well be that when the nachri wrote Hashem's name, he had kavan l'shem shemayim. But if a min writes a sefer Torah, what is a min? A min is a person who is Jewish, who knows the real deal, he knows what it's all about, and he chooses to reject it and to go off the derech. That's the pashut of a min. That is sorif, because that's worse. Because he's certainly, if he knows what the real thing is and he rejected it. So there's no question that when he wrote Hashem's name, he wrote L'Shem Avodah Zarah. That Sefer Torah has to be destroyed. So here,
before is still good.
What?
Before
is still good. Inechem, what he wrote before is, that's for sure. That for sure is good. We're dealing with a situation where what's written afterwards. What is the status with regard to the Svarim that have been written after this person has become gone off the derech? In one respect, a min is even worse. A person who went off the derech is worse than a goy. A guy, you can't generalize. Every person, every situation is different. But a guy composed the nigun. Just because he's a guy, does that mean that his machshavas of nigun are impure? Not necessarily. Okay, so he says over here, it's not such a good idea when it comes to dveikas for kaddish and kedusha. When you select nigunim, don't select nigunim from non-Jews. Now we're coming to a different category of a person who is Jewish, who knows the real thing. He was once shomer Torah mitzvos, and now he has gone off derech. His mind, to a certain degree, is more corrupt than a person that did not go off the derech. Amin, well, they're all different categories of minim. They're all different categories of minim. You cannot generalize. Look, there's a very big machlokes. What about a person that's not shomer Torah mitzvos? I think, if I'm not mistaken, we discussed this from Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Arbach. They're not so lenient in regard to people who live in Eretz Yisrael that are not shomer Shabbos. If you live in America and you encounter a person that's not shomer Shabbos, it's a given that it's a tinuk shenishba. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, a chiloni, you can't say, this is their opinion, you can't say a chiloni doesn't know what Shabbos is. They know good and well what Shabbos is. They live it. You can't live in Eretz Yisrael without the charedim in your face. And no. Okay, it's true, in Echonami. Okay, even today, all right, in Echonami, yeah, you can't generalize. But the standards, the starting point of dealing with a chiloni in Eretz Yisrael is different than dealing with an irreligious fellow in America. In America, there's no one to blame. Tinuk shenishba. In Eretz Yisrael, you got to already ask the question. You got to already ask the question, what exactly is this person? Why exactly is he not religious? What is his background? Where does he come from? Who are we in contact with? How does he deal with people who are religious? Is he mamish a lahachis? Or he's a tinuk shenishba? It's different.
Right, exactly. In a previous generation, you could say that, you know, that they had some knowledge, but, you know, a couple of generations later, even in Eretz Yisrael, they raised...
That is what Rabbi Yashiv says. I think Rabbi Yashiv's... Right, Rabbi Yashiv says, today it's not already so simple. Okay, again, you can't generalize. It's not so simple to say that it's a tinuk shenishba. Just because you have a person in Eretz Yisrael, it's not religious.
You have a guest for Shabbos, you have to have...
Touches the eye, and yeah, that's a nafkamina. It's enough. Me, a tinikshin nishpa. Many heterim. You don't have to. You could have yayin. Not mevushal. A lahachas. A person that's lahachas. Yeah, not allowed to have. He has to be mevushal. So what happens in Eretz Yisrael when you have a guest in your house? How do you deal with that situation? So there's a discussion. Let's see further. Let's go further. Let's see. The v'nei b'shuber Moshe nishal emutul lahashmoy nigunei kodesh mibal menagin shiosel tarbus shuav heishav adavah poshul ubarush chas v'sham liten shein l'sheiris l'rishoyin b've. Israel, v'tzei tame koyre kiro lo call it tame shelo yitma achedim v'yigrom l'malos mizuhumasoi oizen kasheves. Don't let your ear listen, absorb the nigunim of
tome to yikra. The Torah says that batzras You have to say
distance. Get out. Go far away. Let everyone know. Even worse, let everyone know that it's no good. Don't allow the filth of this person to enter in the kasheves. A person listens to this and combines it with davening, so then the tefillah is an abomination. A sefer Torah that's written by an apikoros must be burnt. Also, lil moed mirasha afilu divrei Torah gam kain also l'shmoya zemer me'odem rasha. So the same thing when it comes to zemiro songs, melodies. Hashem shetzarch l'shef asefer Torah shekasu min ve'ein nanichem bezeichel v'sheres l'maseim kach. Gam also loniach zecher v'sheiris l'nigunehem. You may now leave over their melodies. The chayisiv akasaf. The Be'er Moshe continues. Ve'im b'rishus b'rishus chasev tovim mimenu mitzvah l'sarfai. If you have it in your possession, so that you have to burn it. Ve'ech yale ladas liknos mimaseim ulahavim lebeis Yisrael. V'chas v'sham l'shmoya kol devarav koilos nishvarim. How can you, dear listen, take into your home and be influenced by the product of a person that is a Mechalel Shabbos? They what? No, if a Sefer Torah should min is Yisarei, it has to be burnt. The Sefer Torah in the museum was, if that was written by a Jew. A Sefer Torah in the museum was written by a... You should send it away.
Who's
going to
light the match?
It's halacha. I'm sure we'll find out that that's what you're supposed to do. That is what you're supposed to do.
Is a woman allowed to light a
match? No. A woman is not allowed to. For no, because she's part of the Talmud Torah. V'limadetem l'sbeneichem. Only one who's chayv in Talmud Torah is chayv to write a sefer Torah. So she's not chayv in Talmud Torah, she cannot write. Next, let's go further. Afilu hashela li'atzma. Okay, so Mechal Shabbat Bevaisa V'Dibur V'Afilu Hashel Liatzma Hi Machiv Halev. So he writes here that Be'er Moshe says, even asking me this question gives me pain. How can you even have a Havamina to listen to Nigunim that were composed by people who are apikorsim? Even the question pains me. U'mitzvah l'kayim bohem shem reshohim yirkov. V'loi chas v'shalom l'faram u'leroimimam. Don't make these people into celebrities. L'havi ma'aseim l'beis yishol, to bring their products into your home. U'leshabchem, and to praise them. Manohim z'miroisav. How beautiful are their melodies. Hu chilul Hashem. V'gam Hamoichim, those people that sell these products, umefarsimam, and publicize them, tsarich bedika achareihem, check out these people. There's something wrong with these people.
They checked out the Rebbe's Rebbe.
The Rebbe's Rebbe. Okay, go to Eichel and check out what they're selling over there. The imachu mibeis yisrael v'lo yizrachu v'lo yipokedu. They should be obliterated. They should not be remembered. The inyanoi chomor mi sefer Torah. Listening to melodies from people who are apikorsim is worse than having a sefer Torah that was written by a man. Why? Shekasu shterem shenasa apikoris. V'inyanei chomim sefer Torah shekasu ish is written by a person terem shenasa apikoris shekasu who.
If he wrote it
before his time, because it's okay. Mashenkein, look at what he says over here. Atol Mashenkein Atol Lishmoya Kolam Shemafarim Mashach Masam Achrei Shenispaku Oser B'chol Inyan V'zeh Pashul Baru. So he's saying over here very big chiddush. What he seems to say over here is that, let's say a person went out off the derech and he has melodies that he composed before he went off the derech. So he seems to be saying over here, if I'm reading this correctly, is now if you, even though it's mutter, it's permitted to listen to those melodies because they were composed when the person was a holy person, but by listening to them and by publicizing these melodies, people are going to want to go to the next concert. They're going to want to buy the next CD, the next album that comes out. And what's going to come out in the future is certainly forbidden. So you're giving this person legitimacy, even though what he would do, the old stuff is really good, but by focusing on the old stuff and pop and publicizing the old things, you're going to cause a stumbling block for people in the future when this individual produces new things. pshut mishne halachas al davar sha'elto, concerning the matter that you asked me. Oid imutar lishmoya taklitim tapes nigunim shel dveikus miminagin shiyatz l'tar busra, relating to a person who went off the derech. Hinei poshut she'also lishmoya linigune adam rosh min abikoris ve'afilus evetor she'kosam min yisareif ve'kol shekin shayin laba ve'kal v'chaim lishmoy nigin osam ve'lo yoniach shevet horesh al girl hatzadikim. Do not leave these things, the wicked influence upon the tzadikim. Ve'sef ha'chasidim avu she'nigunim she'mish tam shem bohem la'avod zara. Al yinagnam lehakadosh baruch hu ludavah shemigdusha, not yidavah shemigdusha. Ulechein poshut she'also l'shmoy l'migunei adam rasha v'lulmoy mimenu shum davar. V'chaysef l'dina nira shemikevan she'al ha'taklitim nizkar shmoy shel hamanagein, since on the tape is the name of the composer. V'chein hanigunim yodum shehim shel hamanagein, as everyone knows that this melody comes from so-and-so. V'adai, even though it was composed at a time when the person was a holy tzaddik, he did not do anything wrong. V'adai also l'shmo gama shechiber koydem sheyotzal l'tar b'sra, because of the stumbling block that you're going to put in place for the future. Uchimavur b'shash ein l'shtamish b'shem b'shoim, do not use the name of a rasha. I guess what he means over here is, even though the person only became a rasha later in his life, why don't we say that you're allowed to name a person after a rasha? He only became a rasha when he was 60 years old. The first 60 years of his life, he was a very good person. So when you take that name and you give it to your child, you're not focusing on the wicked part of the person, you're focusing on the good part of the person. It doesn't matter. Right now, he ruined it for himself, and therefore the name captures his entire being. If you're going to listen to the nigunim, what he wrote, what he composed when he was a tzaddik, it's also going to have a bad influence for the future. Unless you know for sure, no one's going to know who the composer is. Ubalei nefesh lahachmir kevan sheyesh tam iser bezeh al pi hanema besugin al sevetor shekos svaymin ayin sham. So here he's not presenting any other side. Normally over here in the pinyan halacha, he always likes to keep it balanced. He always likes to throw in, whoever wrote this, the chassidim in Newt Square, they like to keep it balanced, at least present you at least another tzad. Here, for whatever reason, they're not giving you any heterim. I don't believe there are no heterim. I'm sure if you dig deep, you'll find there are heterim. How do we know there are heterim? Puk chazi ma amadvar. Go look. There's probably in that kufa in the 80s, in the 90s, there probably wasn't a wedding where they didn't play yidden. Okay, and not every Rashiva made a fuss about it.
They didn't know where it came from.
They did know where it came. It got to a point where everyone knew where it came from. Everyone knew where it came from. What?
Was that through a Nachri or a Men?
That was a Nachri.
So
the same thing.
About
he goes, okay, so he says Billy both. Okay, first he talks about Nachum. The Sefer Chassidim only talks about Nachum. The Sefer Chassidim says a nigun that was composed by a Nachum, you're not allowed to listen, you're not allowed to use. Sefer Chassidim, a lot of things that it says Sefer Chassidim, we do not do.
Yeah,
we do not do.
Lubavitch had nigunim going way back.
Right? They're marches. I think it's called Koska. Koska. Bom, padadam, padadam, bom, bom. Bom, 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 bom. That's a Goyshe Nigun. It's called Kosko. Kosko. They play that in Chabad. That's a very popular Chabad Nigun. And that's the opening Nigun they play in the Chaim Berlin Mesiba. And today, today they play, all the Purim tapes have it. You go buy a CD of Purim Nigunim. That's you'll have it on every CD. You'll have that Nigun. It's a very popular Purim Nigun. That is a Goyish Nigun. That's an ancient Nigun. That's called Kosko. Called Kosko. Kosko. This Per Shabbos, someone who's very musical, explained to me all the various Nigunim, the Jewish ones, not the Jewish ones. That's how it is. We have Judified it, even though it started off as not. So what would the Sefer Chassidim say about this? He would say it's Osir. Right? He would say it's Osir. What about Yidden? It's a fact that for probably 20 years, I don't know, 20 years, but probably they don't play anymore. Yidden, you ever even play Yidden by winning today? You never. Now they play, I don't know what they're playing anymore. I don't know what they're playing. But what?
There's a modern song. Josh Grogan is famous.
Yeah.
He wrote a song called Lift Me Up.
Lift Me Up, yeah.
It's about Oh, so Yiddish?
Yeah.
I've heard that being adapted at Jewish.
Okay.
Took that negative.
Obviously, there are opinions that hold that it's permitted to do. Right. What about Yerushalayim Shel Zahav? Okay, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. So who is the composer?
Naomi Shemer.
So she accidentally took this from a non-Jewish source. Yeah, she admitted. She was very upset. She heard no one knew. Everyone, it was unbelievable hit. I mean, the whole world went crazy about this. And then someone who says, wait a minute, this is not original. This is not original. This came from India. Google all this. Came from India. And then they said to her, well, what did you do? You plagiarized. You pass this off. Even Atikva? Where did Atikva?
Atikva comes from Smetna.
That's correct. The Moldau.
What's? Okay, so she said that she didn't realize that she took it. She said that she listened to lots of music and it must have percolated in her mind. And she was very sorry. She was very disturbed that she subconsciously had this melody in her mind, and she thought it was original, but really parts of it or a certain style was taken from a non-Jewish source. Now that song, now I don't know, and you don't really hear that song played in the Haredi circles, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, but you do hear it plenty often. Even if you're a Haredi, you hear it plenty often. You don't hear anyone complaining. No one's complaining about it, right? Everyone even plays the music. What?
Was a concert. It was on a Shabbos.
Yeah.
Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Hafnon Tel Aviv. Singing the Marseille. The French.
Yeah.
Kedusha.
In Kedusha. That was their Mina. That was the Mina. Okay, let's go to the next topic. Next topic.
What about taking some part of the davening?
Like, yes.
Adonai Olam was years ago.
So basically, he's saying it's not the right thing to do. Technically, is it osur? No, it's not technically osur. You can't really put your finger on to show that it's osur. But there are, it's one thing when you play these songs during dinner music, dancing. But to take these nigunim and adopt it for kedusha and kaddish, or to use these nigunim when you march down to the chuppah, that is a little bit to the extreme. That's already pushing it a little bit too far. Let's go to the next topic. Kesivas tefillin drabenu tam al yidei mi she'enoi manicham. Topic: are you allowed to do things for someone that you yourself do not do? For let's see, Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch b'sifrei Keses HaSofer. Okay, one of the most, we all know the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He wrote a thing called Keses HaSofer. Today, if you want to get smicha, today to get Kabbalah on Safros, you have to take an exam on the Sefer called Keses HaSofer. It was written by the Avshalom Gansri, the Baal Mechaber of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's a very popular sefer, and there have been many, many svarim that have come out with Be'urim, elaborating on every single idea that is presented in the sefer Keses HaSofer. It's become a whole industry. Keses HaSofer is an industry for many mechaberim, talmidei chachamim, to add addendums, to add chidushim into the brilliance of the sefer Keses HaSofer. So what does he say over there? Hevi sheshama b'shem good lecha sheHaSofer shehuk. By the way, he has a lot of things that he writes in Keses HaSofer that he's chelik on the Mishnah Berura. He disagrees with the Mishnah Berura in many different areas of halacha. Some things he's more machmer, some he's more maker. One of the famous things that he's very machmer is on the ritzuos, the tip, the edge of the ritzuos he holds must be black. On our ritzuos, what's black on the ritzua? Just the top. Are the sides? Now, underneath is one is white. What about the tip? The chudim.
The
chudim. Well, the new ones they're making black and black. Not everyone does that. But what about the chudim? The sides. So when they cut it, only the top is black. The chudim are not black. The Keses HaSofer holds that the chudim meikar hadin must be black. It must be black. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees. The Mishnah Berurah says it does not need to be black. The Minhag Olam is like the Mishnah Berurah. But some who are Machmer, I used to some see the Machmer, they take that paint, that you, the magic marker, or they take paint, and they roll up the Ritzuos into a circle, and they paint the Chudim. They paint the Chudim, the kind of what it says in the Kitzur, in the Keses HaSofer. Okay, today some people, many people are getting on black. black on black is gewaltig. You don't have to worry about getting scratches because it's soaked through and through. And those chutim of a mile, the chudim, the sides, are anyway black. Okay, let's see. Let's over here. It talks about the shayla. Kata sefer hevi yishamim b'shem gurlecha shesefer shu koysa tfilin rev shal benotam tzarech hu gam be'atzma l'niach tfilin benotam because of shekein mistaver shere kol sheyeshna b'kshiva yeshna b'ksiva. The women, can a woman, is a woman allowed to write tfilin? The Gemara says a woman is not allowed to write a pair of tfilin. Why not? She's not mechuyev in tfilin. She's not mechuyev in tfilin. Ukesharetem uchesavtem. The two psukim are juxtaposed. The person who writes can the person who puts on tfilin can write tfilin. A woman does not wear tfilin. It's a mitzvah saseh shehazman groma. Either Shabbos is not a zman tefillin, or Laila is lav zman tefillin. So noshim are exempt. If they're exempt from ukesharetem, they're exempt from uchesavtem. They may not write. Take this idea one step further. Can a person who does not wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, can he write Rabbeinu Tam tefillin for someone who wear for someone else? I'm writing you a pair of tefillin which I myself don't hold from. I don't wear this. I never wore a Rabbeinu Tam a day in my life. But I'm a sefer.
And guess yes.
Zilish.
Yes.
Okay, in a chanami. So that's so he. If you take this logic, if you take the logic. What? What? What do you say? What do you say? Take this svara a step further. If you don't observe. If you don't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, I'm not in the category of Ukeshartam in this regard. So I cannot be in the category of Ukhasavtam. This is what the Keses HaSefer says is correct. So if you don't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, you should not be writing. That's what he says. You cannot. He says that's what he writes. The Kotav Shechem Estaveh Shehari Kol Sheyeshnei B'Kshiva Yeshnei B'Ksiva Kach Kosav Gam B'Sefer Yismach Moshe Sheyesh Li Zoher Shemi She'ena Maniach Tefillin Rabbeinu Tam Lo Yichtadeim She'eladash Rabbeinu Tam Ena Bar Kshiva. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you are not a person who puts on tefillin. You don't put on tefillin. In Cain, ain't a bar ksiva. For Rilo Devas lover, Avshemishan is the Shenit Stava Hoyle, but even though the Yotamam commanded to wear tefillin, the ain't a Mikhaim, Nikra, ain't a bar ksiva, Bimashe Ponevsak, Shemishan, Choshesh Bukhshita, Dinai Kaakum, Shaina bar zvicha. What's the problem? You'll tell me this is not a Guraya, because according to Rabbeinu Tam, you're Mechuiv to wear tefillin. It's just that you're a Pashaya, you're negligent. The Torah says, wear tefillin. I don't wear tefillin, but I'm a mitzvah in the midst of tefillin, so that should not prevent me from writing tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. It's not like the case of an Isha. An Isha is not even chayiv in tefillin, period. So since she's not chayiv, period, in tefillin, so therefore she cannot write tefillin. But a person is chayiv, a man is chayiv in tefillin. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, you chayiv to wear tefillin like me, Rabbeinu Tam. You want to be an avarion. You don't want to go do what you're supposed to do. That's your problem. But you're still a person who's chayiv in tefillin. If you're chayiv in tefillin, you can write the tefillin. So he says that's not a good svara, because we have a precedent to this inyan when it comes to shchita. When a person is a mumar to eat nevelos utrefos, he does not eat kosher food, he eats meat that has not been slaughtered, he is not allowed to do shchita for you. He's not trusted to do shchita for you. So that principle would apply to tefillin. If you are not involved in wearing these type of tefillin, I'm not in this. I've removed myself from this category of this mitzvah. So therefore, you are not permitted to participate in the preparation of this mitzvah for someone else who is careful to observe this mitzvah.
Let me ask you. Rashi's, but they were aware of Rashi's tefillin.
Of course.
But since they were aware of it, you can't just.
Okay, that's what it's going to come to. Okay, let's see. Eina chanami. Let's see. That's the difference. Eina chanami. Yeah?
Is that applied to everything? If I don't hand shmur matzah.
Well, that's the issue. That's the crux of the question. Where do you draw the line? Each one of these things, he already gave the answer, is that you can't compare the case of Nad Bar Zvich. I don't need kosher meat, period. Here, I wear tefillin. I just wear a different type of tefillin. So it's not exactly the same thing. So, you know, we already have three different examples, and each one is not the same. An Isha is potter legamri from wearing tefillin. A person who does not eat kosher meat, he's chayef to eat kosher meat. It's just that he chooses not to, but he's still a bar chiyuva. That's a different category. And now we have tefillin. I don't wear this type of tefillin. But in my mind, I'm still a tzaddik because I do wear tefillin. I wear tefillin of Rashi. So each one of these cases is different. Obviously, they're not the same. Therefore, that's why they're going to be chilukei deos in what the halacha is. The ketzas ha-sefer sides on the tzad of Isser. If you don't wear this type of tefillin, so you have removed yourself from this category, this type of mitzvah, you're equivalent to the person who chooses not to eat kosher meat, and he may not be a sheikhit for someone else. Let's see further. Ulam, let's see. Yeah?
Assumes, would Rabbeinu Tam consider somebody puts on bucket tefillin as a guy who doesn't put on tefillin?
Yes, he would. Absolutely. You're not yaitzeh. They strengthen this approach that we compare it to a person who removes himself from mitzvah specifically. Yeah.
When you, if you wear Rashi's Torah and Rabbeinu Tam, we said you don't make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam.
Well, halacha l'maisa, we follow the opinion of Rashi. Period. You do not make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam. No one today can come along and say, I hold like Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam can hold like Rabbeinu Tam. But we are not, maybe his children, his grandchildren can hold like Rabbeinu Tam. There's no one alive.
Are we that Rabbeinu Tam didn't put Rashi's
also? We don't know. It could very well be he did. It could be he did. We don't know. We don't know. No one, no, no one can answer.
So you put on Rashi's right in the
show. No, not Mucha. What? He was the grandson of Rashi. We don't know. We don't really know. We don't know. The bottom line is today it's accepted as halacha. We follow the opinion of Rashi. Period. No one can come along today and say, I hold like Rabbeinu Tam, I'm only going to wear Rabbeinu Tam, I'm going to make a bracha Rabbeinu Tam, and I'm finished. That's ridiculous. Rabbeinu Tam was Rabbeinu Tam. Look, what did he do before Rabbeinu Tam? Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam were only about 800 years ago.
Why did it wait so late in Jewish history?
So the assumption is that they were, the Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam just put in words what people were doing until now. In the time of the Beis Hamidrash, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, go back to the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, there were two different schools of thought. There were people that wore tefillin, which what we call is Rashi, and there were people who wore tefillin, which we call is Rabbeinu Tam. And by the way, there are more opinions. There's the Shimush Rabbeinu. Anyone here wear Shimush Rabba tefillin? You wear Shimush Rabba? I want Shimush Rabba. It's a different seder. Rambam tefillin. The briskas wear Rambam tefillin.
Really?
You ever see someone wear Rambam tefillin? Yeah. Now, by the way, you should know Rabbeinu Tam tefillin is possibly even according to Rabbeinu Tam. The way we prepare Rabbeinu Tam tefillin would be possible according to Rabbeinu Tam. The parashios cannot be standing. The parashios have to be flat, horizontal.
How can the parashios be horizontal with the?
You have to be wider. The bottom of the, I don't know. It's very complicated.
There
are more things. There are more things that have to be done. When we talk about Rabbeinu Tam, we only talk about the order of the parashios. Nothing more than that. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, there are many other things that have to be done. In halacha, he holds should be done in the tefillin that are different than Rashi. So Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin would not even be kosher, even according to Rabbeinu Tam. It's true. It's a fact. It's a fact. Why? This is tradition. There's tradition. There is more to it than meets the eye. Tefillin are things, they are very mystical. The Kashem Hashem Nikra Lecha V'yadu Mimeka. Tefillin are holy, holy, holy things. It's very mystical. Torah doesn't give any details about the tefillin. It just says Kasharatem L'Osal Yedech V'yulu Tatavos V'necha, and the detail of tefillin is just beyond imagination. All the incredible details. It's all traditional, whatever it is. But here we have this fascinating Shaila. Can a Sefer who does not wear Rabbeinu Tam Tulin, can he write Tulin for a person who wants Rabbeinu Tam? So far he has presented a few opinions that all come down very hard. No, no, no. The Kesis HaSefer and the Yismach Moshe and the Pnei Mavin, all of these things, they cannot be done. Let's go to the next paragraph. Ulam Beshut. However, halacha l'maisa, however you can do it, it can be done. Here is the other side of the coin. Beshud pnei mevin kosav al mishein amenech tefillin b'Rabbeinu Tam machmash chashash yehoira. Let's ask the sefer, why don't you wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin? Ask your typical fellow. They'll tell you, I'm not roy to wear it. Rabbeinu Tam Tilna for tzaddikim, for very holy people. I'm not on that madrega to wear Rabbeinu Tam. It's mechse ki yehoira. Who am I to wear tefillin? So if that's the reason why you don't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tilin, then already you're qualified to write tefillin for a person who wears Rabbeinu Tam Tilin. If you don't wear it because I don't hold from it, I am a Talmud Chacham par excellence. I know Kol HaTarukula. I have analyzed the sugya. I have come to the conclusion that Rashi is right and Rabbeinu Tam is dead wrong. If that's the reason why you don't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tilin, then you're not allowed to write for someone else Rabbeinu Tam, because you have made a statement, I don't hold from Rabbeinu Tam Tilin. Halachically, he was mistaken. He got it wrong. I know better. I'm smarter, wiser, older, everything put together, he's wrong. If that's the reason why you don't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tilin, then in a chanami, you are not allowed to write for someone else Rabbeinu Tam Tilin. But the reason why you don't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tilin is because it's not my custom. It's a very holy thing. It's for yechidim, holy people. It's not my tradition. My father didn't tell me to wear Rabbeinu Tam Tilin. My grandfather didn't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tilin. But I appreciate it. I have respect for people who wear Rabbeinu Tam Tilin. Then you're in the ballpark. And then you are allowed to write Rabbeinu Tam Tilin. Let's see inside. So he says here, the hell is those alpi divri hamogin avram. A person in general who does not wear tefillin. Why not? It's not comfortable. It bothers me. I don't have time. He's not an apikoreis. You're allowed to let him into your house. He can touch your wine. He's not a problem person. He can write Rabbeinu Tam Tilin even for Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, even for Rabbeinu Tam. Kach. Gam b'mikdash ma'at, another sefer, nokach ein b'zeb sul klal v'chein kosabal hayalka gershuni v'hachasan sefer, period. Everyone over here, we have a long list of posts that are very lenient in this matter.
Isn't the Chasan sefer the son of the Kesef?
Kesav sefer?
The Kesef sefer.
The Gansrid? No. It's not related. Gam b'tshuvas hanahogos hevich hesigu al ze shesigu ze shemikaven shoyse al pi choyros chacham dahainu she mistamech al masha anu poiskim lahalach kirashi nigur shoygeg v'dinoy kemumor l'teavon shekos shekoshel l'ksivas hatfilin. The reason why you're not wearing a Rabbeinu Tam Tilin is because halacha l'maisa, it is accepted that we pass him like Rashi. So therefore, you're no worse than a mumar oichel nevelos l'te'avon. That's a pretty extreme thing to say, but in halacha, it means that you're mutter to wear the right tefillin. Ach l'maisa kosav shebe'emes nachmirim l'chatchil gam b'mumar l'te'avon v'rak b'dievet makil m'zeh u'melmek b'dievet. Halacha l'maisa, I remember hearing about this, is that we're not all makbid on this. I remember asking a sefer, maybe I'm mistaken, is that today when you buy Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, you don't have to ask this question. Halacha l'maisa, the minig olam is not to follow the keses ha-sefer in this regard. Is that if the sefer, people who order Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, they are sefer today that write Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam and Ksav Ari and the Lord Vilish and all of these things and not at all makbid on these things is banazeh. You're a shomer Torah mitzvah, so you're a shemayim, and it's mutar lechatchila to write for someone else these type of tefillin, even though you yourself would not wear these tefillin. It's very unlikely people who are in custom order to write Rambam tefillin. The briskas wear Rambam tefillin, and yechidim write shimush harab. I once asked, we once had a shir. When we first started this kollel, so we had a shir, a whole shir, on what exactly is shimush harab tefillin. Maybe we should do that shir again. What is shimush harab tefillin? So at the time, I was davening together with Rabbi Cohn. He once gave a shir here. Rabbi Cohn, he was a sefer. So I was talking to him about shimush harab. So I asked, does anyone really wear these tefillin zman hazeh? So he says, in his entire career as a soifer, he only got one order for shimush harab tefillin. So it's very unlikely the soifer who's writing the shimush harab tefillin actually wears the shimush harab tefillin, because only one in a million do these things. So whatever, that's what it is. All right, let's what. the order is just the order of the parashios is different. Okay, let's stop over here.